what was the origin of the music of Led Zeppelin in this project for you? I read something that was like in 1990s when you started?
Yes, 95, 96, right around in there. The first, our first show ever was in 96.
And what made you say, I want to do, you know, symphony and rock band and see what happens?
Well, there was a local promoter in town, he had talked to this local symphony, which I'm in Virginia, and this was the Virginia Symphony at the time. The interim executive director at the time, they were kind of trying to put their heads together and see how they could possibly get the orchestra seen by a different audience than what was normally being, you know, was normally coming to the concerts. And they said, hey, how about some, you know, let's do some classic rock stuff. And I had done a number of things with the Virginia Symphony, so they he had called me, the interim executive director called me and said, hey, would you be interested in working on this with us? And I said, yeah, sure, it sounds interesting. So we put our heads together and came up with, you know, some groups that we thought would work, and we decided Zeppelin would be, you know, one, because for one reason, they were hugely popular. Second, I thought the music would kind of have an unusually interesting mix with the orchestra and band. But at the time, you know, they were initially thinking that it should just be, you know, just be the orchestra playing it. But I didn't feel that there would be much of an audience for that, because the Zeppelin fans really know this music cold. All the guitar solos, you know, all the drum solos, the lyrics, everything. And, you know, people who would normally go to a classical concert or even some of the Pops concerts really wouldn't necessarily know who Led Zeppelin was. So it was more of the kind of thing where we put it together. I said, well, how about let's get a singer, and I'll use some of my studio musicians for the band, and we'll, you know, see how this goes. And it just, you know, turned out great. And we used a different singer early on, but he really didn't have the chops to cover Robert Plant. There aren't a whole lot of people that can do that and do it really well. So somebody had suggested, hey, why don't you call Randy Jackson's manager and see if Randy might be interested. So we did, and he was interested, and he's been with us ever since.
So how many shows have you done with the music of Led Zeppelin?
Oh, I would say 130.
Wow.
I know we've done over 150 shows, probably more like 160, 170 shows, and I would say two-thirds of those would be Zeppelin. Well, mainly because it was our first one, and you know, it's been around the longest, basically.
Mm-hmm. What other bands were on the short list initially?
The music of Pink Floyd, which we did second.
Right.
and everybody banters around a number of different groups. I mean, we talked about the Doors, and we've done that since. And the Eagles and Queen, and we've done those since. So we're kind of working down the list pretty much that we initially had put together. But it really wasn't, we didn't talk much more beyond Zeppelin and Pink Floyd at that time. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much those two, and we thought, probably Zeppelin first, because they had all the, I mean, the music was both lick-oriented, like Black Dog, for example, the orchestra plays all those licks, mm-hmm. all those lines. And then on some other tunes like Friends or my mind just went blank. you know, a lot of the other tunes, Kashmir already had orchestration in it,
right.
So it was a matter of me figuring out what the heck they were doing, you know, and using that. And I mean, we initially did "I'm Gonna Crawl," which had the Mellotron,
mm-hmm.
and so I wrote that out for the full string section. So it's really gorgeous sound. "All My Love" has the strings at the beginning, but it's the synthesized strings. "Since I've Been Loving You" is the blues tune that just has this gorgeous I've written a lot of counter melodies to what Randy's singing, and it just really lent itself to orchestration.
Symphonic rock or symphonic versions of rock haven't had a punchline, or have been a punchline for a long time. What did you hope to do differently to avoid falling into, say, the London Symphony Orchestra plays Jethro Tull sort of thing?
Right. Well, what we did was we brought a singer in, and we have a full band. A lot of those just might have drums and maybe a background guitar. At least some of the ones I've heard, they didn't have the full band playing exactly what was on the records. That's for the people who really know these tunes, and that's what I meant early on when there are some voracious fans who know every lick of every line and know every lyric. And, you know, we wanted to reach those people as well as, you know, some people who maybe weren't as familiar with the music. But by adding that, it's almost like another dimension. Well, it is another dimension to the music by adding a 50 to 75 piece orchestra behind the band that's playing up front. It adds a dimension without losing what the original music really had in itself.
Do you give the band any freedom in the sense that, I mean, if you, you know, Led Zeppelin on record was different from Led Zeppelin live, and, you know, something like, Dazed and Confused might be 15 or 20 minutes long, which is, you know, and the studio version is not exactly short either,
but right.
It's very different. So why mimic the records rather than, say, try to mimic the live experience?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. We only have two and a half hours with the orchestra. we want to try and get as many tunes in as we can to fulfill a need that may be out there, because they hardly ever play. As a matter of fact, they never played until December of 2008, where, you know, they did the O2. They got together at the O2 and did it in front of 16,000 people, and everybody thought, oh, well, you know, they might play the rest of the, you know, start touring again. Well, that, according to Robert Plant, that's not going to happen. So a lot of the people don't even know what they sounded like live, but they know every lick of every line of their CDs. And I remember when I was going to concerts as a kid, I was a huge Maynard Ferguson fan. I don't know if you know who that is.
No, no.
He's a trumpet player. I was pretty heavily into jazz, and, you know, I knew these tunes cold. And I get to the concert, and of course they're not playing the exact same solos. It's different. They played the tunes differently than I remembered them on the albums, and they were vinyl back then. And I remember thinking, wow, boy, that's not how I remember it. You know, sometimes they would stretch out certain sections of the tune, like you were saying. It's 20 minutes of Dazed and Confused live. So I really wanted to stick with stuff that they were familiar with and give them a sense of familiarity, rather than, hey, I'm going to do my own interpretations of this music, and I'm going to interpret it in such a way that, you know, maybe other people aren't going to appreciate it. So I really tried to stay as close to the originals as possible.
Was there anybody who had done something similar to what you're doing before you did it? You know, the full band with
not,
the orchestra?
Not that I know of. We looked around and were curious if anybody was doing this, and we couldn't find anything about it. Of course, the net at the time was in its infancy, the web. It really came into its own in 95, and we were doing this in late 95, 96, whenever that was there. But so our research was only limited to what we could find on Polestar and, you know, whatever the other, I don't even think it was Polestar back then, because that's now web-based. But, you know, what we looked around and tried to find if somebody was doing this, and nobody that we knew of was doing it, so.
What do you think about the bands you've chosen lends itself to what you're doing with it? I mean, I think back to what Metallica did with S&M, and I think it worked really well with speed metal, in the sense, because there's not a lot of color in those tunes. There's not a very large dynamic range, and I think the orchestra can can really add that. I think with the bands you've chosen, there's a much greater dynamic range at the outset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not just about adding dynamic range. It's really about, for us, adding, or for me, and my way of thinking was more adding a richness to it that, you know, it wasn't that it wasn't necessarily there. There were, these tunes were always very rich, but this adds yet that other dimension, that other sense of color there. That and even with, you know, counter melodies that I have running behind, you know, the solos or Randy singing or whatever, it just added another dimension, not necessarily more dynamic range, but just another dimension to the music that wasn't there initially.
When you approached these songs, were there any that surprised you once you got into them, you know, in the process of complementing the originals with what you were doing, that surprised you with some things you maybe hadn't heard before or hadn't recognized?
Well, you know, one thing that really surprised me was the complexity of their music. You listen to it and you think, oh, you know, it's relatively simple, but then you start tearing it down to its, you know, to its core, and you're realizing, wow, they're using multi chords on top of other chords. They're using alternate tunings on the guitar. They're using, for example, The Ocean. Every bar, for the first 16 bars, is in a different meter. Mm-hmm. It changes meter every time. But you don't, when you're listening to it, you just feel it. It just feels right. But you're not sitting there counting it, going, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. You know, it changes literally every bar for the first 16 bars. And I thought, wow, this is, I can't believe that they did this. I couldn't believe that they would just sit down and say, hey, you know what, we need a 3-8 bar here, or we need a 7-8 bar here. They just played what felt right to them. But when you're actually looking at it on a sheet of music, it's a lot more complex than, you know, I originally thought. I said, oh, well, this should be pretty easy to do, and then I get into it, and there's some really nice, unusual stuff for a group like that to be doing in the mid-70s. So that, it really surprised me.
When you're dealing with the orchestras, what's the range of reactions? I'm guessing you get some resistance at times, and other people are really excited about it, I guess.
Yeah, we get all of that and everything in between. And, you know, some of the younger folks are coming up to us and going, you know, my parents listened to this as kids, and, you know, I heard all these tunes. And other ones are saying, you know, I grew up with this, and, you know, back in the 70s, you couldn't go into a grocery store without hearing Whole Lot of Love or Stairway to Heaven or something. It was all over the radio. So at the time, it was, you know, it was the kind of thing that, you know, a lot of these people grew up with them anyway, and they're saying to me, wow, this is really great seeing this actually written out on paper. And, oh, by the way, why didn't you do this song? And, I mean, and my answer to them is, you know, we have 26, 27 tunes in the catalog that we rotate throughout the, you know, throughout the shows that we do, and I'm constantly adding new ones just because we keep going back to the, you know, similar, same places. You know, we'll be there doing a Zeppelin show one year, and the next year we're there doing the Eagles, and then they'll, the next year we'll do Pink Floyd, and they'll bring us back again the following year for Zeppelin again. So we don't want to do the exact same concert every time, so we're constantly adding stuff. But the reaction has been, you know, all over the map. Some people really, really dislike it, don't think that this is what orchestras should be doing. But, and that's okay too, because I understand their aspect of that, and they've, it's not their favorite music, and they don't like necessarily playing it, but you know what, they're consummate professionals, and they come out and do it just like they would do, you know, a Wagner. Even if they didn't like Wagner, they'd play the music because that's what they do.
Is there anything you do with those who are maybe resisted a little to get it to go down easier? Are there exercises you do or ways to combat that?
Well, not really.
You say the professionals, but enthusiasm helps too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's always nice when an orchestra is enthusiastic about it. Well, one thing that really really goes a long way in soothing that is, you know, the orchestra gets 6-7 standing ovations a night, and the crowd crowds are not your polite everyday, you know, classical crowd who's gonna you know, yell bravo or clap. They're gonna be standing on their chairs screaming at the top of their lungs. You know, it's the audiences are so enthusiastic, but the orchestra can't help but enjoy just the sheer fact of how excited they are. And whenever Randy says, "Hey, give it up for your orchestra," you know, whatever it happens to be, those are the biggest hands we get when the orchestra is introduced.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's an enthusiasm in the crowd that just permeates into the orchestra, and the orchestra can't help but smile and say, "Hey, you know what? This is they're really loving this, so you know I can live with it."
Obviously, as you mentioned before, these shows are ways for orchestras, especially those that fear the graying or blueing of their audience.
Yeah.
Or dying of their audience in some cases.
Yeah.
How do you translate this? I mean, you do this once a year, let's say, with, mm-hmm. with your Spring Pops concert.
Right.
And then in the fall, you're back to doing your repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
How do you translate something like this into your regular season? How do you get those people wearing T-shirts back to your symphony, and how do you keep them there?
Well, you know what? A lot of the orchestras, and this is a fairly new thing, we're seeing a lot more. And that is, a lot of the orchestras are realizing that, hey, I mean, there's an audience out here for this kind of music, not necessarily Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd, but something, you know, that might be even a little more less heavy. Or a little less heavy, and let's have a pop series or a regular series of this kind of music. And you know, we're seeing a lot of orchestras putting together 5-6 concerts during the year of this type of music. Not necessarily us, but there are some other groups out doing different groups, and you know, we're trying to fill a need on the classic rock side. But there's some even mainstream artists that are doing this themselves, and those kinds of series are being brought into the orchestras to get that crowd into the halls.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're doing, are you involved in the Orchestra Iowa concert that happened a couple days ago? Or when is that, actually?
The Quad City?
No, the Quad City is the one we're talking about now. But the are you also doing the one in Cedar Rapids?
No.
Okay.
Which one is that?
There's an Eagles one that's happening. Trying to figure out when it's happening. I can't figure it out.
Oh.
It doesn't sound like you. It's called Take It to the Limit. So is that maybe another?
Oh no, that's another group. Okay. That's another group out of I think Canada doing theirs. Doing that one.
Of all the bands you've done, which is the most rewarding for you, and why?
You know, that's a tough one, because each one. Hear my chair squeaking here. I need to oil this. Each one of them offers something different. Like the Eagles is so drastically different from Zeppelin. It's such a different concert. That's a whole lot more laid back, as you can imagine. I mean, the Eagles' music's a little more, it's a little more vocally rich. We have 5 singers on that show, 3 out front and 2 background singers. It's got 2 guitars. It's a whole lot more laid back. It's that easy, peaceful feeling kind of sound. So that's so drastically different than the driving sound of Led Zeppelin. That I mean, I enjoy both of those because they're so different, and it gives me a chance to do, you know, to conduct and to write music that's substantially different. So each of them have their own, you know, their own positives for me. So I can't really say, you know, one is I prefer doing one or another one over any of the others. So.
What's been suggested to you that you said no, I'm never going to do that?
Rap. Yeah, I've had a couple people say, "Why don't you do some of the new rap tunes?" And I, you know, in all honesty, I couldn't figure out how to make that happen, because an orchestra really needs chordal structures, and a lot of that is just rhythmic stuff set to, lyrics set to rhythm,
mm-hmm.
and real no way for me to manage that. Also, I mean, there are some groups out there that are. that are less harmonically based, and I need something. I mean, to have an orchestra play play musically, they really need to have. There needs to be some sort of harmonic base there. If it's just the same thing over and over and over, there are a couple of tunes that Zeppelin does. It's like that that I'll never be able to make work with an orchestra because you can't do 6 minutes of the exact same thing over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So. And those are sort of just like, you know, 4 or 8 bars of a pattern played, you know, every which way over and over. So, and in those cases, it really makes it difficult to work the orchestra into it. But so those are ones that I've basically said, you know, that's just not going to happen. I can't make that work with an orchestra.
Are there any songs that you think you've been able to transform through what you've done with the symphonic?
Well. For me, one of my favorites that I feel the orchestra adds such another dimension, and I really feel that it transformed the tune. And I've been told this by audience members and even some of the orchestra members. Since I've been loving you is, you know, on the record it's just bass guitar, drums, and a singer. But it's so harmonically gorgeous. In the first section, I have just the cellos playing with Randy and the guitar player, mm-hmm. all by themselves. And I mean, it's just a counter melody to it, and it sounds fabulous. And then slowly bringing in sections of the orchestra as the song gets bigger and bigger, and later into the song, until it's this soaring piece of music. I really feel that the orchestration transformed that piece, and that's, even Randy said to me, he said, you know, this has turned out to be my favorite piece, because he loves the Rain Song, and I think the Rain Song really works well with the orchestra. I mean, there was that whole middle section there that uses the Mellotron in the original one as well, and I tried to stick as close to that as possible, but also adding the further dimensions of having the woodwinds, and then later in the tune the brass come in. But that used to be his favorite, but since we've added the new tune, since I've Been Loving You, that has turned out to be his favorite tune.